Have you ever wondered why some arguments feel impossible to resolve? Why a simple disagreement with your spouse over household chores can escalate into questioning your entire relationship? The answer lies deeper than the surface issue. It's about identity. When conflicts touch who we fundamentally are, rational solutions alone won't work. These identity-based conflicts appear everywhere, in marriages, workplaces, neighborhoods, and international relations. They feel impossible because they're not just about what we want, but who we are. The good news? Even seemingly intractable conflicts can be resolved once we understand the hidden emotional forces driving them. By recognizing how identity shapes conflict, we gain powerful tools to transform tribal warfare into productive dialogue. Identity exists in a fascinating paradox. It feels completely fixed, yet remains surprisingly adaptable. Our core identity encompasses the characteristics defining us individually, our beliefs, rituals, allegiances, values, and emotionally meaningful experiences, the brave pillars. When any of these pillars feels threatened, we experience an existential crisis. Simultaneously, we develop relational identities with others, the characteristics defining our connections. While core identity seeks meaning in existence, relational identity seeks meaning in coexistence. This dual nature explains why conflicts that seem non-negotiable actually contain hidden flexibility. When negotiating difficult situations, we're constantly balancing competing desires for connection and independence. Think about teenagers asserting independence while craving parental approval, or couples navigating the delicate balance between togetherness and personal space. By recognizing that while your core values might be non-negotiable, your relational identity remains adaptable, you unlock new possibilities for resolution. When identity feels threatened, a divisive mindset called the tribe's effect transforms workable problems into seemingly insurmountable ones. Consider what happened when 45 world leaders gathered at Davos for a negotiation exercise. Divided into tribes with colored scarves, they had 50 minutes to reach consensus on values or face simulated world destruction. Despite their diplomatic expertise, they became so entrenched in defending their hastily formed tribal identities that they let their world explode rather than compromise. The tribe's effect manifests through adversarial thinking that magnifies differences, self-righteousness that convinces us our perspective is morally superior, and closed thinking that treats identities as fixed. What's particularly insidious is that minor differences between similar people often provoke the strongest reactions, what Freud called the narcissism of minor differences. This explains why siblings fight bitterly over seemingly trivial matters and why civil wars often occur between brothers. Like the Force in Star Wars, conflict presents two paths, the dark side fed by fear or the light side fueled by compassion. When caught in conflict, we often enter a warped state of consciousness where the relationship consumes all emotional energy, what's called vertigo. Like the professor who argued with his wife over a bedspread until they were questioning their entire marriage, vertigo makes us fixate on winning rather than resolving. Breaking free requires expanding your awareness. Stop when you notice yourself being consumed. Jolt the relationship with unexpected actions, like an apology when the other expects defense. Change your physical environment and externalize the negative by naming the dynamic. Equally powerful is the repetition compulsion, our tendency to reenact harmful patterns repeatedly. Think about the colleague who always feels undermined in meetings, the friend who consistently chooses problematic romantic partners, or the family members who have the same argument every holiday. These patterns persist because emotional wounds drive unconscious behavior. Breaking free requires catching the pattern early, identifying the core urge pulling you to repeat it, distinguishing between past and present emotions, and adding new routines to your repertoire. Some conflicts feel impossible because they involve sacred values, matters so significant they seem exempt from negotiation. Whether it's parents disagreeing over religious education for their children or nations disputing Holy Land, these conflicts trigger powerful emotional reactions. Successfully navigating them requires recognizing what each side holds sacred, distinguishing between truly inviolable values and conditionally negotiable ones, acknowledging other sacred beliefs without necessarily agreeing with them, and finding solutions that respect both sides' core identities. Equally challenging are taboos, things we feel we absolutely cannot express. These social prohibitions create conflicts we cannot discuss, like the family that never mentions the father's drinking problem, or the team that avoids addressing their manager's favoritism. Navigating taboos requires awareness of what remains unsaid, creating safe zones for exploring difficult topics, and strategically deciding whether to accept, gradually chisel away, or directly confront the prohibition. Remember, taboos aren't inherently bad. They protect important social values, but they become problematic when they prevent necessary conversations. Identity politics involves positioning yourself within social power structures, and while often used divisively, understanding its mechanisms can help improve relationships. Protect yourself from manipulation by mapping who influences whom, building a positive identity defined by what you stand for rather than against, creating inclusive decision-making processes, and proactively forging good political relations with counterparts. The most powerful approach is emphasizing what's called the relentless we, persistently framing conflicts as shared challenges rather than battles. After the Boston Marathon bombing, President Obama exemplified this by declaring, "There are no Republicans or Democrats. We are Americans, united in concern for our fellow citizens." This approach transforms adversaries into partners facing a common problem, shifting from me versus you to us versus the situation. Like a jazz musician finding harmony in dissonance, resolving identity conflicts requires discovering unity amid apparent incompatibility. The path forward begins with uncovering your mythos of identity, the core story shaping how you see yourself in relation to others. In conflicts, we typically cast ourselves as victims and others as villains, while they do the same. Unless this fundamental narrative transforms, conflict persists. Healing requires bearing witness to pain, mourning loss, and contemplating forgiveness. A sincere apology, expressing honest remorse, acknowledging impact, accepting responsibility, committing not to repeat the offense, and offering reparation is perhaps the most powerful tool for restoring positive relations. From there, build connections through recognition, empathy, attachment, care, and ultimately kinship. Remember, reconciliation is a choice that begins with believing change is possible. Small changes create ripple effects far beyond the immediate relationship. The fundamental struggle isn't with others, but within yourself, between competing impulses for revenge versus redemption, autonomy versus connection, and acceptance versus change. Like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, you've always had the power to transform conflict, but must discover it for yourself. Don't wait. The potential for reconciliation rests firmly in your mind and heart.